Isaiah chapter number 9. Isaiah chapter 9, that should have been no surprise to you this morning. We've been preaching on this thought, what's in a name, and looking at all that God had instructed the prophet Isaiah to tell us that would be entailed in his son Jesus when he came. And we've looked at some of the names already. In some aspects, today and this evening, we'll be looking at two more of these names. If you found Isaiah chapter 9, if you're able, we'd invite you to stand with us as we reverence and honor the reading of God's Word. Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 6, the Bible says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Our Father, we thank you, God, for this privilege which has been granted unto us once again to gather here in the meeting house, Lord, that we might call upon your name. And Father, you tell us where two or three are gathered in your name, you'd be in our midst. And God, our desire this morning is for you to stop by and to visit with each and every heart and each and every life that is here this morning. And God, speak to our hearts and speak to our lives those things that encourage us and strengthen us and help us. Those things that let us know what you'd have us to do. And God, help us each one to be obedient unto your Spirit and unto your Word as you minister to us. Now use this time to your honor and your glory. And Father, I pray that you touch my body and just use it to your glory and all that is done here today. We ask it in Jesus' name. We say amen. You may be seated. So we've been looking at what's in a name as we think about Jesus, the baby of Bethlehem. We found out that God says he's so much more than what we could ever imagine. He's so much more than just a baby. He's so much more than just one name can entail. There's not enough names under heaven that can wholly and completely describe him, but he told Isaiah that he should be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. We've looked at the name Wonderful and how wonderful Jesus is. Everything about him is wonderful. He's wonderful in his past and the time before creation. Eternity past, he thought about us and he thought about our need, and he already had a plan of salvation in mind, a plan of salvation in order, a plan of salvation ready for mankind before man was ever spoken and the world was ever spoken into existence, and before God ever created man and breathed into him the breath of life. God already, in his wonderful provision, had already seen our need in eternity past. And then in eternity are in the very present world. We go here first. We see how wonderful he is as he holds open the door of grace for all who will hear and believe and who will trust him as their Savior. But then we see in the eternity future before us that he's already made provision for us. He's already made a place for us. And he already has plans for us when we get there if we trust him and we are willing to go through that door of grace that he's opened unto us. We see that not only is he wonderful, but he's a counselor like no other. He knows you like no one else can know you. He's experienced all that you've ever experienced. And praise God, as you deal through the issues of life, he's already aware of every issue that you're going to deal with. He already knows all about it. No one could help you more. No one could counsel you more. No one could instruct you and guide you better than what he's able to. And this morning we're going to look at the mighty God. And man, as I got studying on this, it's a whole lot more here than what we can do in just the few moments that we'll have here this morning. As a matter of fact, I've got 6 copies of some things up here if you're interested and you want to look into it a little bit further. But on the names of God and these are just the prominent names of God that are mentioned in the Bible. But the Bible tells us that Jesus isn't only a baby. Jesus isn't only the Son of God, but he is the Mighty God. Amen? Now, some people will not accept that Jesus and God are the same, and Jesus and God are one. This scripture, in fact, says that He is the mighty God. Some denominations and some the cults and religions deny His deity, or they either ascribe Him as a separate deity. And we need to understand that God and God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are one. As Jesus has come, and as Jesus has been signified as being the Son of God, He's also signified here as being God, the mighty God. Not just a God, but the God. Amen. There's only one God. There's only one Father. There's only one Son. There's only one Holy Spirit. Three aspects of God, but all the same. Amen. All completely making up God. The thing about when we say the mighty God, we need to understand that the English language doesn't have the same depth or emphasis that we find in other languages, such as Greek and Hebrew. As we think about the world, the word love, and we look at it in the English language, we see the word love, and we entail all types of love into one word, where in the Greek, we see the word love it is broken down into different aspects of love. There's the eros love, which is the erotic love. There's the filial love, which is the parental love, and the love that a child has for the parents, a family type of love. There's the agape love, which is the love which God has demonstrated to us. So you can see how in other languages, sometimes the word that we think about and the thought that we get in our mind is more in depth and more entailed than what we are imagining. And the English language just doesn't explain God as deeply as does the Hebrew. And to understand what Isaiah is telling us here under the inspiration of God, we need to understand all that the name of God entails. Amen. And that's why I've got these sheets up here. If you'd like to get one, get one. There's some things that as we read through and we read through the Bible will sometimes use the name Jehovah. The Bible will sometimes use the name El, that signifies it's one of the names of God. It's one of the terms that denotes God. The Bible will sometimes use and generally translates as Lord, the word Jehovah. So we got to understand when you take these lessons and you go to study, the words that are being translated that you read in your King James Bible have been translated from the Hebrew that are signifying these names of God. Adonai is one of the common names of God. It is the most common. It's the everyday term that is used for God. It's used in place of Yahweh or Jehovah because the Jews felt that the name Jehovah was so holy that it was not to be used in just everyday conversation. It was so holy that in fact, as we will look here in a minute, but I'll just go ahead and throw it in there now, Jehovah was only to be spoken, was generally only spoken once in the year, and that was by the high priest when he went in to the Holy of Holy to offer the blood of the sacrifice for the sins of the people upon the mercy seat of God. It was so holy that it wasn't used in conversation. God says, "My name shall not be taken in vain." And the Hebrew writers and the Hebrew people guarded themselves against using the name of God, the name of Jehovah, just so casually. So they used Adonai as the common name of God. When they spoke every day, as we speak about God, they would speak about Adonai. But when they spoke about their Redeemer, when they spoke about the sacrifice and the one who had made a way of redemption for the people, then and only then was the name Jehovah utilized and the name Jehovah spoken as He was considered holy. If we would just hold the name of Jesus, if we would just just hold the name of God in such high regard as what the Hebrew people did. We would get a better reverence and a better understanding for Him and who He is. And God says here that Jesus shall be called the Mighty God. He's not just Adonai. He's not just the everyday God, the everyday name that we call upon, but He's also just as much a Yahweh or Jehovah. As a matter of fact, in the Hebrew writing, there is no vowels in the name Yahweh. It is written in Hebrew, YHWH. There is no vowels within the name. It was written in English so that it could be transliterated for us to understand as Yahweh with the vowels A and each and E installed. But it translates into English as Jehovah, which means Lord, strictly speaking, the only proper name for God. Amen. It's a name that defines and describes the ever-existent one. He was always there, and He always will be. He has no beginning, and He has no end. And for this, we need to completely grasp. He needs no one, and He has all that He needs, and is completely satisfied with everything that He has, and He's sufficient in and of Himself. Do you understand something this morning? I want you to understand this 100% and grasp this as deeply as you can grasp it. Man, I spent some hours studying on this, and the more you study it, the more it makes you realize just how much God does love us. God does not need us whatsoever. God can exist outside of us, apart from us, without us, and in every aspect of everything that we think about God, and everything that we think we do for God and do with God and because of God, He doesn't need us. Amen. See, we've got to the place where we think we're so important to God. God uses us for His purposes. But God doesn't need us. God doesn't need me. He can call another man to send and speak here and to do what I do. He doesn't need me, but He uses me. I need to realize that what God allows me to do for Him is a privilege. He exists apart from me. He doesn't need me. And all that exists is His to do with. You know, people say, well, how can God do this? Why does God do that? If there is a God, why? Well, God don't need our permission to do anything. Everything that exists is God's to do with as He pleases. And until we can get to that frame of mind, we never wholly and fully understand God. The name Jehovah is often used in conjunction with the ways in which God has exhibited Himself to His people. Abraham called Him Jehovah Jireh, the God who supplies. And I could go down through the list, and we can look at the different names of Yahweh, Jehovah. The Lord will provide. Yahweh or Jehovah. Rapha, the Lord who heals. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner. Jehovah Mekadesh, the Lord who sanctifies, makes holy. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. Jehovah Tishkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Jehovah Rahe, the Lord our shepherd. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. Jehovah Elohim, the Lord God. As we look, and as we understand, He is the Mighty God. Jesus, the baby born in a manger. Jesus, the one we celebrate at Christmas. He's more than we can imagine when we think about the Mighty God. He didn't need to come, but He chose to come. He didn't need us, but He chose us. He didn't have to, but he wanted to. Because he's everything that we need. And when we look at all that the Bible tells us, all these titles of Jehovah, and we see all that is entailed when we think about Jehovah and all that he does and all that he has been to his creation, we understand that truly he's more than we ever dreamed, more than we ever thought. People are sitting in churches this morning. People are living throughout the world today wondering how they can find the answers that they are needing for life, how they're going to find the help that they need in life. Where is hope found? Where is truth to be found? Where is life itself to be experienced? In none other but the mighty God, Jesus, the Savior of the world. The name Jehovah was not only so holy that it wasn't to be spoken. It was considered so holy that as the scribes were pinning down the Word of God, as they were writing and preserving God's Word, as they would write and they came to the name Jehovah, they had to stop, get a brand new quill, and write the name Jehovah. It was so holy that it couldn't be written with an instrument that had written any other thing other than the name Jehovah. And after it had wrote that name one time, it could never be used for any other purpose again. It couldn't be used again to write the name Jehovah. For if they wrote Jehovah and came over a few words and came to the name Jehovah once again, he was so holy, and the name is so holy, and is so high and lifted up and revered, that they would have to get a brand new quill again just to write the name Jehovah. Do you understand that we have a God that is so high and holy? Isaiah said, I saw him high and lifted up. God says, heaven is my throne. The earth is my footstool. Do you realize that we have a God that is so far above us, so far beyond us, so far past needing us, that his name alone should make our hearts just quiver within us when we speak it, when we think it. Isaiah said he shall be called the mighty God. Not just a God, not just part of the Godhead, but he shall be called the mighty God. Why is that? Because he's so far above us. He's so much more to us than we could ever comprehend and explain. But we need to grasp the fact that he is the same God that we're speaking about, the same God that we're looking at when we look at these names. We see the word El, and we're not talking about El Van Blarkum either. I wish Brother El was here this morning. Amen. We're not talking about El's tire. We're talking about El. The more common name used for God. And as we think of Jehovah and we think about the ever-existent one, we think about the self-sufficient one, we think about the one who's constrained by nothing whatsoever, we think about the power that's in that name. But the name El alone in the Bible means power as it's used in conjunction with other characteristics and attributes of God. It's also used to denote when God is evident, as Jacob came to Luz in Genesis chapter 28, and he had his dream that night as he slept upon the pillow and he seen the stairway and the angels ascending and descending. He said, surely this is the house of God. And the name of Luz became known as Bethel, Beth meaning house, and El meaning God. Bethel, the house of God. We see that the name El denotes God. It sets apart God. It speaks of God. Then we see the different attributes of God that are spoken when we attach that in conjunction with his attributes. Elohim, God, Creator, mighty and strong. Elohim, it's found several places and is translated as God or Lord throughout the Bible. We see a name that's probably most familiar to most people simply because of a song that came out about 20-some years ago, maybe a little longer, called El Shaddai. How many remembers that song? El Shaddai. El Shaddai is the name that describes the God of great power, the great God of deliverance, the God who would fight for Israel. When they were in trouble, when they were struggling, it was El Shaddai whom they called upon, El Shaddai whom they sought, El Shaddai whom they would desire to come and stand in the place where they were in need because the enemy was there. When we think about El, when we think about the El Shaddai, we think about the Elohim, the Creator, mighty and strong, the deliverer. It all focuses on his power, his might. It all speaks of the one who breaks through and overcomes. It all speaks of the one who gives deliverance and gives victory unto his people. Elroar, this God of seeing. El Olam, the everlasting God. But then El Gibor, the mighty God. The mighty God. Jesus, the baby in Bethlehem. El Gibor, the mighty God. The one who can do all things. The one who can do everything. The one who is everything that Israel has dreamed of. Israel has been waiting for their Messiah, and they've been waiting for their deliverer. And God said, he shall be called the mighty God. But they were looking for a man. They were looking for someone just like them who was going to come. So he came in the form of a baby, the mighty God, El Gibor. He came just as God had said he would. He came just exactly what they needed, but he was rejected because he wasn't what they perceived. He was rejected because he wasn't what they were looking for. We have a mighty God that still dwells among his people. He said, when I leave physically, he said, I'll return spiritually. Amen? He said, when I'm no longer here to comfort you in person, he said, I will come and comfort you in the spirit. When I'm no longer here to guide you in my person, he said, I will be here to guide you by my spirit. That's the mighty God, El Gibor, that was born, the El Gibor that came, the El Gibor that is everything that we need. But the problem today is he's here. He's among us. He ministers to us. He speaks to us. He blesses us, and he touches us in every way. But people are still looking for something else. Why is that? Because we've lost sight of the mighty God. We've lost sight of exactly who he is. We've lost sight of exactly how he works and how he ministers to us. He doesn't do it in the way that we think. He does it in the way that he knows we need. From the time Jesus was born, from the time before Jesus was born, the devil done everything he could to hinder his birth. Because he knew the mighty God was coming into the world, and he would hinder the plans of the prince and the power of the air. He would hinder his ability to deceive and to destroy. From before his birth all the way to the garden tomb, He done everything that he could to hinder. He hindered the prophets. He hindered his parents, his earthly parents. He couldn't hinder his father. Let me just make that perfectly clear. He could not hinder his father. Amen. There was nothing he could do to bother his father. You see, his father was the mighty God. Amen. When he was born, Herod tried to, as he preached, the religious crowd tried to destroy him. Why? Because he wasn't what they were looking for. He wasn't what they were expecting. But he's the mighty God. Amen. Why not? If you want a deliverer, why not El Shaddai? If you want a peace in your world, a peace in your life, why not? You want a Messiah, don't look to man. Look to El Shaddai. Look to Jehovah Shalom, the God our peace. He was everything that they were wanting. He was everything that they were needing, but they were rejecting him. They chose instead Barabbas. They chose a man who'd made insurrection. A man whom they viewed as having more power and having more ability, because, well, at least he was willing to stand up, and at least he was willing to do something, and they rejected the mighty God. Folks, what we got to realize this morning is when we celebrate Christmas, we're not celebrating just a baby in a manger. We're celebrating the mighty God, El Gibor, God of might and of power. We're celebrating the one who is everything that we need. But we're still looking for something. I don't care what aspect of life you look for, people are still looking for something. They're looking for it everywhere but where they need to. They're looking for it in our government. They're looking for it in social programs. They're looking for it in people. People will disappoint you. People will let you down. People will hurt you. People will do things against you that you never thought possible. People will use you and abuse you. But he came to give himself for you. He came to be everything that you needed, everything that you could desire. The mighty God. The mighty God. I can't even begin to explain and to get into the depth of everything that I wished we could about all that his name entails. We call him Jesus. But do you call him Savior? We call him Jesus. But can you call him your friend? We call him Jesus. But is he that one that's near you in your darkest times of trouble? We call him Jesus. But is he the one that you call on when the bad news comes? We call him Jesus. But is he the one that you look to when you're in difficulties of life? You know, drug addicts and alcohol addicts and any other addict can't do anything for themselves. They can send you to programs and the 12-step programs, and I guess these are all good and all have their place. But let me tell you something. A right relationship with Jesus will do more than any program could ever do. A right relationship with Jesus will make you free. A program will keep you where you are. My name is such and such, and I'm an addict. Whether it's a drug addict, alcohol addict, gambling addict, that's the first thing. I'm so and so, and I'm an addict. You got to admit that you're something. Jesus said, "He whom the Son sets free or makes free." How many have been listening? He whom the Son makes free is free indeed. Amen. See, rebirth will do what rehab could never accomplish. The mighty God can do what all the programs and all the drugs and all the helps that the world has can never accomplish. We have a mighty God that's been given us a gift. God's unspeakable gift. Why is it unspeakable? Because it's the mighty God. It's not just a baby in a manger. He's the mighty God. It's not just a God or some God. It's God himself come down to man. God's unspeakable gift has been sent to us because he's everything we need. That's why we look to him. That's why we trust him. That's why we depend upon him. That's why we find that everything we need is wrapped up in him. We measure time and space. He transcends all time and space. He has no restraints, has nothing that holds him back. He's unrestricted by the natural laws. When he was in this world, nature had no power that he could not stop, that he could not control. The winds and the waves and the storms ceased. The tree that he spoke to, the tree that he cursed, withered. Death had no hold and death had no grip. As anywhere he went, he had to be careful as to what he did. Because when he spoke Lazarus' name at the tomb, when they rolled the stone away, he had to be specific. Because had he said, come forth, everybody in the graveyard would have come out. Amen. Death has no power. You say, well, he died. Yes, he died in the flesh, but he rose in power. He died unto sin. He died unto the things of sin and unto the curse of sin. He died for the cause of man. He died to fulfill the law. But praise God, he rose again victorious that we might have victory. That's why Paul could pen these words in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The strength of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to know something this morning. The baby that was born in Bethlehem is the mighty God who brings victory. He's the mighty God who brings life. He's the mighty God that brings hope. He's the mighty God that delivers. He's the mighty God that fulfills every need of man, no matter what it is. He's the mighty God that loved you enough to lay down his life for you. And he's the mighty God that didn't have to do any of it, but he'd only done it because his grace was poured out upon you. He's opened that door of grace to allow each and every one of us the opportunity to enter in. The mighty God that doesn't need you wants you. The mighty God doesn't need you, loves you. The mighty God that doesn't need you has made a way for you. The Bible says he became sin for us who knew no sin. For God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for our sins. This mighty God that suffered for you. This mighty God that died for you. This mighty God that rose again for you. Rose. This mighty God. This mighty God is waiting to forgive you. This mighty God is waiting to meet whatever needs you might have. This mighty God is all that we need. But so often, we choose him as our last resort. This mighty God is all that Christmas is about. But so many times he's the last thing that we think of at Christmas. Church is the last place most people think about during the Christmas holiday season. But this mighty God has never ceased thinking about you. This mighty God has never ceased caring about you. This mighty God has everything you need this morning. Brother Jim, Sister Mary, let's get a song.